Welcome to Zikud Daf Siman. Remember my Ram Goldar and Thirma Sakas Baba Kama Daf Kuf Yud Zayin, the 10th Barak Hagozo Umachil. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rav Huna Bar Yehuda told Rava about an incident of a Jew who was forced by idolaters to show them his fellow's money, and he obligated him to pay. Rava told him to retract based on a brisa. Yisrael she'ansu of the kochavim mehera mamun chavero. If a Jew was forced by idolaters to show them his fellow's money, pater, he's exempt. But if he took the money and gave it to the idolater by hand, he's liable. The Rav explains that where he directly damaged his fellow's money, he's chayv even under duress. Someone was forced to show and then transport an Amora's wine to idolaters, and Rav Ashi exempted him, although he had physically delivered it. Rav Ashi explained, Heked de ukme ilavi mikar, where he first took the idolater to the money, before being told to bring it. Mikle Kalye, he's essentially burned the money since the idolater can take it himself. Bringing it to him afterwards is inconsequential. Point number two, the Gemara writes that after Rav Kahana killed an informer, Rav told him to flee to Eretz Yisrael and instructed him not to challenge Rabbi Yochanan's teachings for 7 years. Reish Lakish warned Rabbi Yochanan that a line has ascended from Bavel, and Rav Kahana sat in the front row for Rabbi Yochanan's lecture. He posed no challenges and was moved to the 7th row. Rabbi Yochanan commented, Arisha Marta Naasa Shuol, the line of which you spoke has become a fox. Rav Kahana said the 7 rows of dishonor should take the place of the 7 years and began to challenge Rabbi Yochanan. After being moved back to the front row, the 7 rugs under Rabbi Yochanan were progressively removed until he was on the floor. Rabbi Yochanan's long eyebrows were lifted to see Rav Kahana, and he thought Rav Kahana, whose lip was split, was smirking at him. Rabbi Yochanan was disheartened and Rav Kahana died. When Rabbi Yochanan was informed that it was his normal appearance, he went to his burial cave, which he could not enter until declaring, Yikanes Talmud Eitzel HaRav, but let a student go into his teacher. He davened and brought him back to life. Rav Kahana declined to return to Rabbi Yochanan's yeshiva. And pointing with you, the next mention states, Shatfanar, if someone stole a field and a river flooded it and destroyed it, Omer Lahari Shokha Lufanelcha, the robber can say to the owner, behold, what is yours is before you. Land cannot be legally stolen, so it remains in the owner's possession. Therefore, any damage to the land unrelated to the robbery is not the robber's responsibility. In a brisa about the same case, Rabbi Eliezer says, Chayv Rami lo zada acher, he's obligated to provide him with another field. The Chamim restate their opinion in our Mishnah. The Gemara explains they argue how to darshan the phrases in the Psukim. V'kichesh ba'amito b'pikadon, o mikol esher yishav alav v'shaker, and he lies to his fellow regarding a deposit or regarding anything about which he swears falsely. Boyezer darshans the phrases as the more expansive riba umiyot uriba and excludes only one category, shtaros, documents, which are the least similar to the items referred to by the pasuk, lacking inherent value. The Rabban darshan as the more limiting, kol prat uklal, excluding karkos, lands, she'en metaltin, which are not movable, as well as slaves, which are compared to karka, and shtaros, which lack inherent value. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, Rav Huna Bar Yehuda told Rava about an incident of a Jew who was forced by idolaters to show them his fellow's money, and he obligated him to pay. Rava told him to retract based on a brisa. Yisrael she'ansu of the kochavim mehera mamun chavero. If a Jew was forced by idolaters to show them his fellow's money, pater, he's exempt. Bimnata manas miyad chai. But if he took the money and gave it to the idolater by hand, he's liable. The Rav explains that where he directly damaged his fellow's money, he's chayv even under duress. Someone was forced to show and then transport an Amora's wine to idolaters, and Rav Ashi exempted him, although he had physically delivered it. Rav Ashi explained, Heked de ukme ilavi mikar, where he first took the idolater to the money, before being told to bring it. Mikle Kalye, he's essentially burned the money since the idolater can take it himself. Bringing it to him afterwards is inconsequential. Point number two, the Gemara writes that after Rav Kahana killed an informer, Rav told him to flee to Eretz Yisrael and instructed him not to challenge Rabbi Yochanan's teachings for 7 years. Reish Lakish warned Rabbi Yochanan that a line has ascended from Bavel, and Rav Kahana sat in the front row for Rabbi Yochanan's lecture. He posed no challenges and was moved to the 7th row. Rabbi Yochanan commented, Arisha Marta Naasa Shuol, the line of which you spoke has become a fox. Rav Kahana said the 7 rows of dishonor should take the place of the 7 years and began to challenge Rabbi Yochanan. After being moved back to the front row, the 7 rugs under Rabbi Yochanan were progressively removed until he was on the floor. Rabbi Yochanan's long eyebrows were lifted to see Rav Kahana, and he thought Rav Kahana, whose lip was split, was smirking at him. Rabbi Yochanan was disheartened, and Rav Kahana died. When Rabbi Yochanan was informed that it was his normal appearance, he went to his burial cave, which he could not enter until declaring, Yikanes Talmud Eitzel HaRav, but let a student go into his teacher. He davened and brought him back to life. Rav Kahana declined to return to Rabbi Yochanan's yeshiva. And pointing with you, the next mention states, Shatfanar, if someone stole a field and a river flooded it and destroyed it, Omer Lahari Shokha Lufanelcha, the robber can say to the owner, behold, what is yours is before you. Land cannot be legally stolen, so it remains in the owner's possession. Therefore, any damage to the land unrelated to the robbery is not the robber's responsibility. In a brice about the same case, Rabbi Eliezer says, Chai v'chami lo zada acher, he's obligated to provide him with another field. The Chamim restate their opinion in our Mishnah. The Gemara explains they argue how to darshan the phrases in the Psukim. V'kichesh ba'amito b'pikadon, o mikol asher yishav alav u'shaker. And he lies to his fellow regarding a deposit or regarding anything about which he swears falsely. Rabbi Eliezer darshans the phrases as the more expansive riba u'miya u'riba and excludes only one category, shtaros, documents, which are the least similar to the items referred to by the Pasuk, lacking inherent value. The Rabban darshan as the more limiting, kol prat u'klal, excluding karkos, lands, she'en metaltin, which are not movable, as well as slaves, which are compared to karka and shtaros, which lack inherent value. All right, so now we're going to go to Simmer Daf Kuf Yud Zayin, and this one was suggested to us by Moshe Raps from Yerushalayim. He suggested that Kuf Yud Zayin is a gabai with a lot of keys. A gabai with a lot of keys. So here goes. When the gabai with a lot of keys was forced to show the idolater where the rabbi kept his money in his study, he was shocked when he saw through the window into the Beis Midrash the rabbi giving shir, getting challenged by a rabbi sitting in the seventh row, as a river flooded a stolen field outside and started flooding the room. Once again, it's slow motion. When the gabai with a lot of keys, gabai with a lot of keys, that must be more dove, Kuf Yud Zayin. When the gabai with a lot of keys was forced to show the idolater where the rabbi kept his money in his study, which reminds us, Rav Huna Bar Yehuda told Rava about an incident of a Jew who was forced by idolaters to show them his fellow's money, and he obligated him to pay. Rava told him to retract based on a brisa. Yisrael she'ansu avdei kochavim ve'her mamon chavero. If a Jew was forced by idolaters to show them his fellow's money, pater, he's exempt. But if he took the money and gave it to the idolater by hand, he is chayiv. So when the gabbai with a lot of keys was forced to show the idolater where the rabbi kept his money in his study, he was shocked when he saw through the window into the Beis Midrash the rabbi giving shir, getting challenged by a rabbi sitting in the seventh row, which reminds us, the Gemara brings the story of Rav Kahana fleeing to Eretz Yisrael and then sitting in Rabbi Yochanan's shir, being advised not to challenge Rabbi Yochanan for 7 years. The Gemara relates what caused Rav Kahana to do so and then his subsequent death and revival. So when the guy with a lot of keys was forced to show the idolater where the rabbi kept his money in his study, he was shocked when he saw through the window into the Beis Midrash the rabbi giving shir, getting challenged by a rabbi sitting in the seventh row, as a river flooded a stolen field outside and started flooding the room, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Shatfanar, if someone stole a field and a river flooded it and destroyed it, the robber can say to the owner, behold, what is yours is before you. Land cannot be legally stolen, so it remains in the owner's possession. Therefore, any damage to the land unrelated to the robbery is not the robber's responsibility. In a brice about the same case, Rabbi Eliezer says, Chai v'ramid lo sada acher, he is obligated to provide him with another field. So once again, when the gabbai with a lot of keys was forced to show the idolater where the rabbi kept his money in his study, he was shocked when he saw through the window into the Beis Midrash the rabbi giving shir, getting challenged by a rabbi sitting in the seventh row, as a river flooded a stolen field outside and started flooding the room. All right, so now it's time for Vor B'Rabbah Chazara. Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Yud Gimel is a geek. So here goes. The coin collector geek. Geek. That must be on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. Geek. The coin collector geek who refused to take change from the customs collector who collected without limits, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Importimum tevos hamoksin, one may not take change from coins in the customs collector's box, nor from the tax collector's purse, and nor may one take charity from them because the coins were not taken legitimately and are thus stolen. The Gemara said, Shmuel said, Dina de Malchus et Dina, the law of the kingdom is considered the law, so the money should not be stolen. Shmuel answered, but Mocher she'en lo kitzba. The Mishnah's case is a customs collector who has no limit in the amount he takes, which is not a legitimate collection, so the funds are stolen. A different answer is given. So the coin collector geek who refused to take change from the customs collector, who collected without limits, nor from the thief known to steal from Goyim, which is prohibited, which reminds us, the Gemara teaches that stealing from a non-Jew is prohibited. Rav Shimon Chazida said, although stealing from a Kanani is prohibited, aveda so muteris, his lost article is permitted to keep. Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair says, this does not apply where a chilul Hashem may result. Shmuel says to usum muteris, money received through his mistake is permitted to keep. So the coin collector geek who refused to take change from the customs collector, who collected without limits, nor from the thief known to steal from Goyim, which is prohibited, had no problem crossing the bridge that the king's agents built to show his friend his coin collection because Dina de Malchusa Dina, which reminds us, Shmuel taught Dina de Malchusa Dina, the law of the kingdom is considered valid law. Rava said, Teidah, you may know this is true because the king's agents cut down palm trees without the owner's permission and build bridges with them, and we go across the bridges. If the wood would be considered stolen, the bridges would be prohibited to use. Daf Kuf Yadal, so the same Daf Kuf Yadal is a kiddie amusement park. So here goes. The boy pretending to make kiddish in the Shabbos exhibit at the kiddie amusement park. Kiddie amusement park? That must be more in Daf Kuf Yadal. The boy pretending to make kiddush in the Shabbos exhibit at the Kitty Amusement Park, standing on stolen unprocessed hides that a thief secretly stole, and were now rendered susceptible to tumah through the thief's makshava, which reminds us, the Mishnah states, Shalgana, regarding unprocessed hides stolen secretly by a thief, makshava matamasan, his thought renders them susceptible to tumah. Because the owner despaired of retrieving them, the thief acquires them, and his decision to use them as kalim, meaning mats, makes them susceptible to tumah. If a gazlan stole them forcefully, the owner does not despair because he hopes to sue the known robber in court. Rabbi Shimon holds the opposite. He despairs regarding a gazlan who fearlessly robbed him, but not a thief who stole secretly. Ula said the machlokes is only about presuming the owner's yeush, but by yadua, where it's known he despaired, everyone agrees that yeush is affected by both a ganav and a gazlan. So the boy pretending to make kiddush in the Shabbos exhibit at the Kiddi amusement park, standing on stolen, unprocessed hides that a thief secretly stole and were now rendered susceptible to tumah through the thief's makshava, casually mentioned that a swarm of bees emerged from a certain man's field as the owner of the field was chasing after them, which reminds us in the Mishnah Rabbi Yochanan Broka taught that women and miners may testify about the source of a swarm of bees, thereby identifying the owner. The more as that they're not valid edim, and Shmuel explains that the case is where the purported owner was chasing the bees, and the woman or miner were talking casually and said, the swarm emerged from here. So the boy pretending to make kiddush in the Shabbos exhibit at the Kiddi amusement park, standing on stolen unprocessed hides that a thief secretly stole, and were now rendered susceptible to tumah through the thief's makshava, casually mentioned that a swarm of bees emerged from a certain man's field as the owner of the field was chasing after them. While his friend won a prize when he successfully answered what the halakha is when you see your kiddush cup in the possession of your former Shabbos guest, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Hamakir Kelim Usfar B'yad Acher, one who recognizes his Kelim and books in another person's possession, V'yatzel Hashem Geneva Be'ir, and a report of burglary went out in the city, the purchaser returns the item, swears how much he paid for it, and takes the amount for the claimant. The Gemara explains that the cases where guests stayed in the person's house, and he got up in the night shouting that his possessions were stolen. Furthermore, there was a tunnel dug under his house, with the guests exiting with bundles of Kelim on their shoulders, and everyone saying that the homeowner's utensils and books, which are named and identified as having belonged him, were stolen. Daf Kuf Tezvav, so the Simur Daf Kuf Tezvav is a Ketoros maker. So here goes. The Ketoros maker, that must be on Daf Kuf Tezvav. The Ketoros maker who innocently bought stolen spices from a thief in the spice market and demanded compensation from the owner based on Tekana Zashok, which reminds us. The Gemara says, Ganav Macher, Ra'achacha Chukar Ganav. If someone stole articles and sold them, and the thief was then discovered. Rav quoted Rabbi Chiya saying, Hadin Im HaRishon, the claim is only against the first one, meaning the thief. And Rabbi Yochanan quoted Rabbi Yanai saying, Hadin Im HaSheni, the claim is even against the second one. After several interpretations of these two positions are given, Rav Papa explains that everyone agrees the buyer must return the item to its owner, who had not despaired, and they argue if the rabbis institute a Tekana Zashok, a remedy of the marketplace allowing the buyer to demand compensation from the owner when the thief has been identified. So the Ketoros maker who innocently bought stolen spices from a thief in the spice market and demanded compensation from the owner based on Tekana Zashok got splashed by spiced wine that was spilled out from a barrel by someone who wanted to save the honey in someone else's barrel that cracked, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states that where someone's barrel of honey cracked and began to leak, and this other person poured out his less valuable wine from his own barrel and saved the honey in the wine barrel, Ein lo ela scharo, he only receives his fee for labor and usage of his barrel, but not compensation for his lost wine. But if he stipulated for his wine to be repaid before pouring it out, he can demand compensation. So the Ketoros maker who innocently bought stolen spices from a thief in the spice market and demanded compensation from the owner based on Tekana Zashok got splashed by spiced wine that was spilled out from a barrel by someone who wanted to save the honey in someone else's barrel that cracked. As another man who saw his jug of spiced oil was breaking attempted to declare the oil as Truma and Meiser on produce in his house, which reminds us, a brisa was quoted which taught that if someone was carrying jugs of oil or wine and saw they were breaking and the contents would be lost, he could not declare them truma and maaser on produce in his house. If he does, his declaration is ineffective because the contents, which stand to be lost, are hefker and not his. Daf Kuftes Zayin. So the Simmer Daf Kuftes Zayin is a barber giving haircuts. So here goes. While the wet donkey driver who saved his friend's donkey from the river while allowing his donkey to be lost was getting his haircut. Haircut? That must be on Daf Kuftes Zayin. Haircuts. While the wet donkey driver who saved his friend's donkey from the river while allowing his donkey to be lost was getting his haircut using the money he was reimbursed with, despite his donkey surviving, which reminds us, Rav Gana asked Rav, regarding one who stipulated to be reimbursed for allowing his donkey to be lost to save his fellow's donkey, if he went down to save his fellow's donkey and his own donkey came up from the river on his own, can he still claim reimbursement? Since he was mafkir at the time, he simply acquired an owner's donkey, so perhaps his retrieval would not impact his right to reimbursement. Rav answered, Mishamai Rachimole. From heaven, they had mercy on him to keep his donkey alive, and he retains his right to reimbursement. So, while the wet donkey driver who saved his friend's donkey from the river, while allowing his donkey to be lost, was getting his haircut using the money he was reimbursed with, despite his donkey surviving, the barber didn't notice the people in the caravan outside paying ransom to some bandits according to the amount of money each were carrying, which reminds us of Braisa taught regarding a caravan traveling in the wilderness, and a troop came against it to plunder it, but accepted a ransom. Mechashvin lifi mamun. They calculate the members' contributions of the ransom by the amount of money they're carrying, mein mechashvin lifi nefashos, and do not calculate by the number of people in the caravan because the threat was only a financial one. So while the wet donkey driver who saved his friend's donkey from the river while allowing his donkey to be lost was getting his haircut using the money he was reimbursed with despite his donkey surviving, the barber didn't notice the people in the caravan outside paying ransom to some bandits according to the amount of money each were carrying, right next to where someone was showing his neighbor's field to the king's agents, causing them to confiscated, which reminds us, if someone showed someone else's field to agents of the king who were seeking property to seize, causing them to confiscate it, he's liable to pay. Tosos explains he's liable for this indirect damage under the principle of dinid degarmi. All right, so now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff do you learn about the process when a defendant requests time to prove that a document is forged? That's on Duff. Kufiyat Beis. Good number two, which stuff discusses the din when showing someone's property to idolaters under duress? That's on Duff. Kufiyat Zayin. Good number three, which stuff implicates one who pours out his wine barrel to save someone's honey and the question of his compensation? That's on Duff. Kuftes Vav. Good number four, which stuff they learn about when bandits accept ransom from people in a caravan? They calculate the members' contributions of the ransom by the amount of money each are carrying. That's on Duff. Kuftes Zayin. Good number five. Which stuff they learn about what the din is when one sees his kelim or svarim in the possession of another? That's on Daf. Kufiyat Daled. Good number six. Which stuff do we have the mice of Rav Kahana coming up to Eretz Yisrael from Bavel and sitting in Rabbi Yochanan's shir? That's on Daf. Kufiyat Zayin. Good number seven. Which stuff do we have a machlokes whether Takanas Hashuk was instituted, allowing one who bought stolen goods from a thief to collect compensation for the owner? That's on Daf. Kuftes Vav. Good number eight. Which of them, according to Simchus, if a father left over an item he stole for his children, they do not have to return it since minors cannot be sued and based in. That's on Dav. Kufiyat Beis. Good number nine. Which of the case of a river flooding stolen land and the question if karka nigzelis, if land can be stolen. That's on Dav. Kufiyat Zayin. Good number 10. Which daf to Malchukas if Rishus Yorish can Rishus Lokeach Dami? The Rishus of an heir is like the Rishus of a purchaser, meaning it constitutes Shinui Rishus. That's on daf. Kufiyat Aleph. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Yoram Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.